Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
Intimate service. It's nice to sometimes have an intimate service. Thank you. Well, you've nearly made it. What have I made, you say? You've nearly made it to the end of the year. Isn't that awesome? 2017, nearly done. And you're still here, and you're still walking with God, and you've still got a smile on your face most of the time. How awesome is that? We felt so blessed last week to celebrate our Christmas and Thanksgiving service here at Central Life. And just felt so blessed that we were able to share it like family together, and that a lot of you got up and you shared from your hearts last week. And it just blessed us so much. So thank you for sharing and bringing that heart of gratitude into this family. And just making it special. It was special last week, and sorry to the friends that couldn't make, half of the friends that couldn't make it last week, but it was really special. I just feel a bit far away this morning. And good morning to our Facebook friends as well today who are here. I use you, let me get my brain right. I was reading on the You Bible. Who uses You Bible? It's an online app Bible. It's really good. If you have the chance to have a look, you should do it. It sends you verses of the day, and it has lots of different plans, like weekly plans that you can do on a specific topic. It's free and it's really easy to use. And they were saying that they were talking about the 2017 verse of the year that people mostly looked at and read and searched for in the year. What do you think it was? The verse of the year. Anything? No? The verse of the year, the Bible verse shared, bookmarked and highlighted most often by the global YouVersion community during 2017 was Joshua 1 verse 9. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That was the most looked up Bible verse of the year. How awesome is that? I thought it was awesome. And it's such a great verse. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. If you wanted to look at that scripture in its natural form, that basically says whatever you do for God in your life, putting him first, and whatever you do for him, you can do because he's with you. Do not fear, do not be afraid because he's with you. He's gone before you. And, you know, I love that scripture. You know, many times the Holy Spirit has brought this scripture to my remembrance just before I was about to walk through something. I've heard a whisper of God. Be strong and courageous in God's strength. And, you know, God wrote that scripture, and he encourages through that scripture not to forget him through different times of our life, to put our trust in him no matter what's happening, and to fear not. You know, in this scripture, there was an interruption in Joshua's life. It was a big interruption. He was with the people of Israel walking in the desert, in the wilderness, and just about to embark. They were so close to embark on the promised land. And Moses dies. He just dies. And suddenly Joshua's in the hot seat. And what would he have been thinking and feeling at that time? He would have known exactly what the people of Israel were by then. their complaining and their grumbling and going in their own tangents and whatever else happened over that time in the wilderness. It was a hard job for Moses, wasn't it? A hard job. And he did it to the best of his ability. He had his moments, like we all have our moments in life because we're not perfect. But suddenly, Joshua's life was interrupted by a circumstance. And this scripture from God comforts and says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And so that enabled him to go beyond where he was, beyond the point of his life where he thought, oh my goodness, what do I do now? What do I do now? I can't do this. This is ridiculous. God assured him, and then he led the people to the promised land after 40 years. What a blessing. And you know, as people of God, we need to continually recognize God, his strength, and his leading in our life. We've always got to recognize that through the ups and downs. And a lot of people, because it's a natural response, get to the end of the year and they look back and they reflect and they stop. Some people get discouraged. Some people look at the year and go, that was the worst year ever. Some people get to the end of the year and think, that was the best year ever. I want to get to one of those years, thanks. You know, some people have despair and disappointment at this time of the year. But God encourages us to keep going on, to be courageous, to not fear and to be strong, to be confident in him. You know, there's nothing like a healthy, confident person in the right way for God. We don't have to fear that. God's given us everything we need to live this life well, whatever circumstance. He's walking with us and he just calls us to trust him. And trust is a big thing. Trust is a big thing in our society, isn't it? People's trust has been broken through life and through relationships and stuff that has happened. It's a big thing, but God hones in it. Trust me, trust me, trust me. I know what I'm doing. Trust me. And you're going, God, I don't think you know what you're doing. And he continues, trust me, have faith, be strong, be patient, be kind, have a bounce back mentality. Can I have my ball? I heard this great message, and I don't know where it was, and it was years ago, but one of the keys to life and in God, is to have a bounce back mentality. You know, stuff's always going to happen. It's always going to happen. And if you don't have a bounce back mentality, if you don't have a process of bouncing back from what's happened, it'll take you out. Honestly, it'll take you out. It'll take you somewhere that you do not want to go. And that's not the path that God's played out for us. Amen? It's not the path. And so, you know, we're not like a ball that drops and stays on the bottom. We're a ball that bounces back. A bounce back mentality. We've got to have a bounce back mentality because we've got things to do. And our lives influence somebody else, whether you like it or not. Wherever you go, whatever you do, our lives influence somebody else. And this world is about me, 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 like that movie, is it Nemo, Finding Nemo? The seagulls? Mine. Well, the world's a bit like me, 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 me. But God's economy is not about me, 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 me. It's about others. It's an others-centered gospel. And we have to have a bounce-back mentality to be able to be purposeful with our lives and to be able to influence in the positive, because it's so easy to go to the negative, so easy to go to the negative room in our head, so, so easy. And it's very hard to go to the positive. You've really got to work at it. But you've got to have a bounce back mentality so you're not taken out. You know, and people get to the end of the year and they get taken out really easily by circumstance. They get tired, they get worn, they get sick of seeing the same signpost. And they go, that's it, I'm giving up. Have a bounce back mentality. It's helpful. Doesn't mean we don't have, don't throw that now back at me. I'm not ready. It doesn't mean that I'm not saying here this morning that we don't process things. We must process things. It's healthy. You have to process your feelings and thoughts because everybody responds differently. And if something happens to you and it's like a grief, you must go through the process of grief. You must allow that to happen. What is grief? It's a loss of a person, a loss of wealth, a loss of a job, whatever that is to you, a loss. And the markings of grief is that you feel happy, sad, all at once and any time of the day, a bit like a roller coaster after something's happened to you. And you've got to process that. So I'm not saying you don't have to go through the process, but you have to be determined to have a bounce back mentality. Have to be determined in your hearts. And you have to trust God that he's got it at hand. And, you know, somebody I think about that, you know, was a pretty remarkable person and pretty much a pioneer in humanity was Mary. She was a pioneer. She's the only woman that I know of that conceived a baby on her own with the hand of God. Remarkable pioneer. In Luke 1 verse 26, I just want to read to 31. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured." How awesome would that have been? "The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words. I think that's funny, but so true. If an angel showed up to you today and said, "You're highly favoured, the Lord is with you," what would you think? Honestly. What would you think? And troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel of the Lord said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. And you are to call him Jesus." Amazing. Amazing. An amazing miracle that changed the world in one spot, in one time, that affected the whole of humanity, that even today we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Jesus' birth thousands of years later. An awesome thing. And, you know, I think about this, you know, she was a pioneer, as I said, for humanity. She was the only person in the world that received this blessing. Awesome. What sort of person would she have been? And, you know, like that other scripture, she had to be very strong and very courageous. It was the Bible times. People got married before they had a baby. She would have had to face a lot of ridicule. And if she'd said, "God is with me and God has done it," she would have been mocked. Absolutely. You can believe it. She would have been mocked. And I guess at that point, when the angel came and visited her, she was just going about her own business. And we go about our own business all the time, don't we? And then sometimes we get stopped in our tracks just by a whisper from God about something for our lives. And if we're in the right place in God, meaning we're open to what God's doing, we can receive it. And Mary received what God had said to her through the angel. She received it. And at that point in time, she had to make a choice. There's always a choice, church. She had to make a choice. "I'm going to trust God. This is going to be a big journey, but I'm just going to trust him and see how it goes." Or she could have fought it all the way. She could have lacked faith at that time and said, that's ridiculous. She could have said, I'm not strong enough to do that. I'm not worthy enough to do that. You know, this is not going to work. Fear could have gripped her heart. She could have tried to take her life thinking she was crazy. Who knows? She could have just taken matters in her own hands in all sorts of ways. But she was a person that knew God and trusted him. And she agreed to go on the journey. And, you know, I think of that, of us in Christ. You know, we're always faced with decisions when things happen. Always. And sometimes we make good decisions, don't we? We make good, godly decisions. And then other times we don't. And I think it's just part of learning in life. It's just part of the process. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So even if we make a bad choice, God will help. He'll comfort us. He'll curve us, bring us back to the spot that we should be. And if it wasn't for Mary making that good choice, I really don't know what would have been of humanity. I'm not sure. But she had to trust God. And you know, there would have been judgment, as I said. There would have been lots of judgment in society for her. Would have been ridicule. But sometimes when things happen, we just have to trust. We can't question. We can't question. And people all the time, I don't know about you, but people all the time can look at my life and question, is that really God? Is that really God doing that in your life? Well, that's for me and God, isn't it? That's a revelation for me and God. And sometimes people can try and look at other people's lives and go, oh, that's not God. You know, that's I don't know what's going on there. I don't understand that. Well, some things you're not supposed to understand, but it's for them. It's a revelation for them. And I don't believe that God puts churches together, brings people to a church like ours for no reason. I don't believe the angel just hovered over the earth and looked down and went, oh, that person will do. For no reason. There's a plan and there's a purpose for each one of us. And a lot of the time it's an individual purpose and a revelation. I don't believe that God brings people together in a church not to be used. I don't believe that. Everybody, all of you here, have a part to play. You have a gift from God. You have a purpose. You have a life that's continuously mapped out for you and I. And we're here to do something, church. We're not here to sit on our hands. God hasn't retired, so neither should you. You know, like we have a plan. And we're always faced with choices to make. But I want to encourage you, including myself, make good choices in God and go for it. End this year well, as best as you can. End it well with God in view. Trust him. Get ready for next year. You know, when Jesus roamed the earth, people didn't understand why he was here. It was definitely prophecy. But many people didn't understand why he was here and how he could do what he was doing. They had no personal revelation. They judged him. You know, Jesus was performing miracles. Why are you performing miracles? How can you perform miracles? They completely judged him. They didn't understand what was going on. But God was having his way in humanity. And so we have to be very careful and very open to what God's doing and what he's about to do. And as we go into next year, take the mantle up to be a pioneer in something in your life. Be a pioneer in something. Do something that you haven't done before, whatever that is. Do something. Make a mandate, not a New Year's resolution because they don't last. But make a mandate with God. God, take me on a new journey next year. Not the same. Don't give me the same that I had this year. Take me on a new journey. Now, as a church, we'll be going on a new journey. We've got some things happening. We've got Dave and Sue that'll be doing some training to run a Search for Life course in the church next year, an awesome foundational course that helps you find your identity. We struggle with our identity as people. It grounds you and it helps. So we're excited about that. We're embarking on something new as a church. We've got Jennifer that's going to start working in looking at care packs for our church to care for those people that come out of domestic violence and have nothing when they need help. We want to connect with the community and build a simple care pack, not food, but, you know, all the care things like personal stuff like, you know, shampoo and deodorant, all those things, and fresh towels and all those things that you may not have when you've got to escape from a bad situation. We're going to do something different as a church next year. Can I encourage you to take that journey with God and do something next year, something different? Now, we're not here to be self-seeking. Sorry, but we're not. We're here to be God-seeking. God-seeking. Let's be a church that says, more of you, God. More of you, God. Whatever that means. More of you, God. And run with it and go with it. Don't go, oh, I prayed for more of you, God, but you didn't do it the way I wanted. Like Mary could have said, well, God, you could have waited till I was married with Joseph. And then I could have had Jesus. You know, like, it doesn't always go the way we want. So be careful what you ask for. God, have your way, more of you, but I'm going to trust you for whatever you do. Whatever that is, however that looks, I'm going to be strong, I'm going to be courageous, I'm not going to fear, and I'm going to trust you. As simple as that. I'm going to trust you, God. I say that for myself. I'm going to trust you, God, for next year. I don't know what next year looks like, honestly. I do not. I've had a few disruptive moments over the last couple of months. I have no idea, but I'm going to trust God. And I do. I'm going to take a new journey, be a pioneer in something, whatever that is, because God is ever present. He is ever moving. He never retires. He never takes a day off. He never gets sick. He never sleeps. He's always for us. Always. How exciting is that? We are not alone. You are not alone. You are not an orphan. You have not been separated. You have been connected to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Father God. And if you didn't have a great life growing up, if you didn't have great parents, although parents are just doing the best they can in the circumstance they're in, if you didn't have that, you do have that now. You've got to understand that. You do have that now. Father God is for you and me. And he wants to see the best for us, not the worst. And he's not going to be manipulative. He's not going to be intimidating. He's not going to be anything but the perfect Father for us. And as a church, we can draw on that and we can live a confident life with that, no matter what goes on. Do something new. Keith has been doing a series on Facebook called Conversations with God. Anybody read some of them during the week? And he's really been enjoying it, having conversations with God. And in the natural, that's a bit challenging. Oh, is that prayer? Is that what we're supposed to do? Is it prayer? Or can we actually sit down at a coffee table and have a conversation with God? Yeah. Be open. Take time out with God, however that looks. Don't think you're not spiritual because you haven't spent 10 hours praying, 10 hours reading the Word. God moves in every moment, church. You know, sometimes I get here on a Sunday and I go, I don't know. I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know. I don't have any answers today. But I believe that wherever I am ministering for God, whether it's here, helping somebody out there, whatever, I step into what God has for me at that time. and God moves in us. And all we need to know is that God will. And all we need to do is just be. As simple as that, just be. Now, some mornings I get here, have no idea what God's going to do. I'll get up here sometimes, have no idea, but I believe that God will give me something. And it's as easy as that, church. It's as easy as that. We don't have to get God's approval. We don't have to do 10 hours of prayer and worship to get God's approval. He died on a cross for us, church. He accepts us. He died for our sins. He accepts us. He loves us. You know, a lot of Mary could have been thinking, highly favoured of God. Am I? Highly favoured. Well, you're highly favoured. And sometimes I hear your conversations, you know, I'm not good enough. I don't make the grade. I can't do this. Yes, you can. In God, you can. It's not a grading system. Christianity is not a grading system. It's not. We are highly favoured from God. That's all we need to know. Let God rewrite your thinking. Allow him to rewrite your thinking. Because the battle is always in the mind, isn't it? Allow him to rewrite your thinking so that you can walk freely. So that you can do your purpose. Allow him to rewrite it. Because our mind just gets in the way all the time and takes the best of us, doesn't it? It's draining. We've got to have that bounce back mentality. And, you know, living a kingdom life, a kingdom culture, is allowing God to work on our thinking. Establish a kingdom life in your own life, in your family's life. Establish a kingdom thinking. It was all based on love. God's kingdom is based on love. It's based on restoration. Bring that to your house. Bring love to your family. Bring restoration. Mend relationships. So, so, so important. The kingdom is about that. The kingdom restores. You know, and we've just been given such a great gift, the gift of Jesus, that we're called to be kingdom people. What a great thing. We're not of this world. This world does the opposite to the kingdom. And most people, you know, if they hang around you long enough and you are a kingdom person, they will be drawn to it like honeys to bee and not know why. You don't have to shove the gospel down somebody's throat. You need to live it. Live it as best as you can, not being perfect, but live it. And be committed to giving, to allowing God to bring more kingdom principles into your life. You know, this year and even the year before, we really felt that scripture around the arise, shine, build. And, you know, I really felt that just in closing this morning, Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 6, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and of the riches. You will boast. Church, God has commissioned us with authority. He's qualified us with our gifts that he's given. He's set us apart for the important task that he's mentioned to you individually and to us as a church. We're qualified and we're anointed with incorruptible oil to do great work to which we've been called by Christ himself. Meditate on that as you leave this year. Leave this year? Does that make sense? Yeah. As you leave this year, meditate on that, that you've been called by God. You've been anointed to do great works in him. Don't grow weary in doing well, church. Know who you are. You know, we have a big year ahead and I want to encourage you to just go with it. Go with it as best as you can. Run with it. Don't put stipulations on it. Trust in him. Be strong and courageous. Ask God to anoint you with fresh oil. You know, it's like when there's been a storm and the rain comes and it washes all the plants. And then the sun comes and it drips off the freshness. We want to be fresh plants, renewed, ready to grow. I always put things in that because I like to garden. But it's true. It's true. This morning, would you stand with me? I don't know, you know, this morning where your heart is. Only you know that and God knows that. And so we're going to pray this morning. But if you would like prayer, we'll call for prayer. And if you need to go, we bless you to go. It's Christmas Eve. I want to tell you to have the most amazing Christmas. Enjoy each other immensely. You never get this day back or tomorrow back ever of that year. So enjoy it. Be a blessing to others and be blessed. It's really important. And bring some joy to others as well. So I'm going to close in prayer now, and then if you want prayer, I'm happy to pray for you after the service. But thanks, guys. Thanks for a great year. It's been a privilege. Father, I thank you this morning. Lord God, you are so amazing. Lord, and I thank you that you have our lives in your hands, Father, and whatever's gone on, we celebrate this morning. We celebrate your goodness. We celebrate the good times. We celebrate the bad because we know that you are in control. Father, help us to trust you again, Lord God. Let our lives bring honor to you wherever we go, and help us to increase a kingdom life in our own lives and in our families' lives. And Lord, for those that don't know you and that we have access to and influence on a daily basis, Lord God, do a turning there, that there might be a chance just for people to be touched by you, to know that they're not alone, that they are called and welcome into your family. Father God, we thank you. Everything. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contact us at centrallife.com.au.